drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. For the last 6 years, the Refuge program has invited artists to imagine how we might prepare for a natural disaster. And between COVID and fires and climate events, the last few years have certainly shown that their work isn't just a matter of imagination. Latai Tomopiao has been creating work throughout the program, and her latest work is Mass Movement, an audio pilgrimage about departure, arrival and displacement. And she's my guest in the drawing room. Latai, welcome.
Hi, Patricia. Thanks for having me.
How did you get involved with Refuge in the first place?
I think because Refuge is an artist-led program that is presented by the Experimental Arts Centre Arts House. I've been making work about the impact of climate change for many years now, and so I guess I was on the radar of the directors and the producers here. And so when they pulled together a group of artists who have that in their practice, I was one of them. And I guess I'm one. There are very few artists who make work about the impact of climate change on the Pacific and on coastal communities. So it seemed like a good fit.
As you said, climate change in the Pacific has been a major part of your work for years now. How did it become a focus for you? You actually went to the United Nations Climate Change Conference, right?
Yeah, that's right. In 2007, Anthony Albanese, they published a report that the title was something like, "What's Australia's Responsibility to Its Nearest Neighbours," meaning the Pacific. And I'm from the Grangla electorate, so I wanted to know more about it. So an organisation I was working with at the time, volunteering with, we invited the MP to come and talk to us about it. And then from there, going to the United Nations Climate Change Conference and escorting Pacific people from the islands, because I'm an Australian Pacific person, I became very, very aware very quickly about a lot of the issues that the Pacific leaders were raising in the plenary sessions. And it really struck me that I had the potential to work with this in my practice, but also I had very strong feelings about it as a person that has Tongan heritage. And although my island isn't in extreme danger just yet, it's not too far off, but there are other low-lying islands, and some of the people that I'd met on the UN trip had, brought a lot of things to my attention that I thought were really necessary to voice through my practice.
Talk to me about those feelings. What's the emotion behind the work?
This work, Mass Movement, I think, is the first work that I've made that is looking at the spiritual well-being of displaced people. So through Refuge, we've been, the artists that is, have been working in collaboration with many emergency management partners as well as First Nations leaders. And so that many personal stories and ideas about the way people identify with place, became really clear to me that they were things that I also felt as a person who has grown up, going back and forth from my island nation and having a very strong ancestral tie to another place. And just thinking about how that is also affecting many other people, such as Torres Strait Islander people and First Nations people from here, the Bunurong people and the Woiwurrung people. And so just kind of thinking about, outside of ideas, displacement, I thought that I'd like to look at that spiritual journey and how that, is something that can help other people realize how difficult it is for people to process what it's like to be forced to leave your homeland or be displaced in general from a bushfire or these disasters that are increasing. So it was a bit of it's always a process of, a cathartic grieving process for me, thinking about future generations not being able to have connection to their islands if they submerge eventually in the next 50 years. So That is a really delicate and sensitive area. So I wanted to really use this final year of refuge to explore that in a very poetic way.
How different is the conversation around climate change in Australia compared to the Pacific Islands?
It's very different. I mean, it depends. You know, the walk that we did in Melbourne on Saturday, which is the live element of this departure, and we walk from one beach to the next following the coastline and following the coordinates of salt water and fresh water and into civic water, these ideas of, you know, people having a complete disconnection forever is a very difficult one to, very difficult conversation to have with people. Some Pacific people don't want to even think of having to leave their island nation at all. And in some islands, I've heard of some elderly people who just refuse to leave. And then on the flip side of that are people who are experiencing, you know, well, you know, even with the pandemic, you know, young people having to leave urban centres where they're students and trying to go back to more rural areas where their families are and being stuck somewhere. You know, they're very different conversations, but there's, you know, the emotions are the same. So I think once we get through some of the surface talk around logistics and, you know, economics, the displacement is already real in the body. And so I think just moving through very gently and very slowly through some of these feelings, it has become more and more relevant for different, very different people. So, yeah,
mass,
it's tricky.
Mass movement, there's a live element, as you mentioned, but there's also a series of audio pieces. Take me to that audio. What were you planning to do? What are you doing with this audio listening?
Well, the audio was part of a, you know, preparing for the potential of not being able to make it here to North Melbourne and thinking about how this live durational walk along the coastline could be experienced even if we went into lockdown in Sydney or in Melbourne, and the work would continue because this work actually started 2 years ago. And so it really needs to exist. And so the idea of the audio work was because I did the walk 2 years ago on my own, I wanted to create a representation of that walk that then takes the listener on the journey, on a physical journey of that place, but also one that gives a sense of the complexity of how story is embedded in place, you know, the history of places and how people have passed on information about very specific sites. And so on this walk, there are beautiful areas, you know, there is the salt marshes, there are migratory paths for birds, very specific birds and marine life. There's a refinery, there are, you know, remnants of two old volcanoes. And so I wanted to kind of take different stories from the area, as well as I used a framework, a cultural framework of my own of departure and arrival, to show the complexity around how stories are passed on from generation to generation about place through the audio. And so feeling how a listener might receive a physical sight in their body through the audio work. So there was a really lovely collaboration that I had with two other artists, Nina Buchanan, who's a sound designer who lives in the Bay, and then also Lucrezia Quintanilla, who's another artist based here, who her origins is El Salvador. So we share the same Pacific Ocean that enters into the Bay, and so it was this beautiful kind of fluid conversation between us through sound and audio to tell a story that's relevant now about this particular site. And also there's a large Pacific community in this area, in the area of Altona, which is where the walk started. So we had a ceremony on Saturday on the beach that is, you know, was a bit of a mishmash of different ideas of what it might be like to think about putting together something for yourself to feel the idea of relocation and displacement through a very gentle 2-hour walk. And so that's reflected in the audio through 10 audio tracks, which I'm calling Vaka. And Vaka is the word for a sea vessel. And each Vaka represents like an idea or a body of knowledge that comes from either the site or, you know, a concept from a culture that is potentially maybe lost in the future because of a loss of place.
On RN, I'm Patricia Carvelis. Latai Tamopiao is my guest in the drawing room. We're talking about her new show, Mass Movement. So you're a dancer, you're a choreographer, you're a performance artist, now a sound artist too. Where did it all begin for you? What was the first step into this world of performance?
It has to be my local church hall as a child in the inner west of Sydney. And my dad, it was his dream that we sign up to every extracurricular activity. So I was in, you know, some dance classes, some ballet and jazz and tap and piano and tennis and all sorts of things. But something that was very true to me was expression in the body. It speaks very loudly to me. I don't often like to do a lot of public speaking and things like that, but I think I have a very open awareness and sensory with movement and dance. And for me, culturally, before we had a written language, dance and movement and song and poetry and oratory were the ways that we documented connection to place and history. So for me, it's been about asking questions around how do we continue to do that using contemporary tools and making stories about ourselves now that are relevant to now, you know, the diaspora story of existing in Australia and what is important to us. So this became a way of using the elements of performance making, which in culturally for me is also about a social obligation. So we don't really differentiate between some of those things. Dance isn't only for entertainment or leisure. It is very much a functional part of how we think about ourselves and maintain ourselves for the future and hand on and transmit knowledge into the future. So, yeah, I think once I started to, you know, learn various tools in contemporary performance and contemporary dance and looking at choreography and the relationship to ceremony and these ideas, mass movement became very clear to me as a traversing durational performance performed by many people at one time. But, you know, like all ceremonies, everybody participates, but they're not performing. And that was a very interesting thing for me to think about in this work is how do we all perform the role of place in our own bodies so then we might have more responsibility to the natural world that's going to create a better future for the next generations. So, yeah, some really kind of big questions, some, you know, really big, beautiful landscapes and seascapes of country, you know, and just distilled into some very simple actions to generate empathy and compassion, you know, and just love of country without the patriotism.
Yeah. What was your own experience of the places on this walk? What was it like being around those waterways, both looking both in and out?
Oh, it's so stunning. I mean, you know, coming from the theatre where we stage so many things indoors, but in Pacific performance, the sports ground, the performance site, the burial site, the ceremony site is all the same site. So being out in the open and this action of walking together, being framed with such beautiful formations in the landscape and, you know, the ebb and flow of the tides coming in and out and the sunlight, you know, hitting the skyline and that we're moving towards, we were walking towards the skyline was really dramatic and, you know, epic and almost religious and biblical and, you know, all of these big experiences that lend itself to spiritual connection. And so for me, I didn't really do it doesn't feel like I did much except, you know, take people on a walk, which is a council coastal walk as well, you know, so it's not anything that people can't do out of the ordinary. It's just about focusing and noticing the small micro things and the large things, you know, that is our environment and the life forms, you know, outside of our human life, and that we exist within that. So it was just a stunning, stunning day to do the walk. But it's also something that through the audio, you could be walking to work and still embodying the intention of this site and the stories, the digital stories of this site that we've put together. And that, I think, is part of trying to create a moving experience, a transformative experience, which is what I think performance can do.
Would you like to see a change in the way we present work here, getting away from the gallery and the theatre, those institutions, be out in the world? Can we shift that out of COVID? I mean, we know outside's the safest place.
Yeah, I think that's already, you know, that's already happening. And I think adapting is something, you know, mitigation and adaptation and resilience are words that we're very used to in, you know, in climate crisis movements. But in all sectors, that is exactly what we have to do anyway, you know, whether it's, you know, shifting to renewables, given we're in the pandemic, we're adapting very quickly and using all kinds of tools that we didn't to connect. So I think the arts is always available for creating many innovative changes, which is one of the reasons why we've partnered up with Emergency Management Services, because we are in a position to experiment, to put forward ideas, to problematize and, you know, just create solutions for all sorts of things that we might need to go into a cleaner energy in the future. So, yeah, I think we're definitely already doing that in the arts in so many ways. But there's always a space for the black box, the ice, you know, the white cube. There are various canons that exist in the arts, and I think diversifying them as best as we can, you know, being led by artists in a lot of those fields and intersecting fields of arts and non-arts is, you know, one of the ways to do it. And that fortunately some of us who've been involved in Refuge have been working quite intersectionally for many years with all kinds of interesting people doing great work, you know, scientists, economists, engineers, communities. Communities are really, you know, up for all sorts of challenges and explorations. So, yeah, I think the arts is a really good place to start asking some big questions, or not start, to continue asking the big questions, and all of us taking some risks and also showing some of our vulnerabilities and our fragilities. And I think that's pretty much all we can do right now.
A few years ago, the theme of Refuge was actually pandemics. Did that help you at all with where we've ended up over the last year?
Yeah, definitely. It was, I mean, that was a year that I stepped out of producing my own work in there, and I wanted to observe. And so we spent a lot of time at the Peter Doherty Institute, and they were so generous talking to us about all kinds of things, scenarios, and yeah, what we can expect. And at that time we were, you know, at the 100-year mark of the Spanish flu. So in a lot of ways, it did give us some kind of psychological preparation for what can happen. You know, we saw a lot of things. We spoke to many of the epidemiologists. And so it did give us a really good insight, but it also helped us think about how during a pandemic, other things don't stop. You know, other whatever crisis or disaster is happening, it just, you know, is exacerbated by something like a pandemic. And the difference is that, yeah, as we know now, is that people don't come together like other disasters, like floods and bushfires and things like heat waves. You know, people do gather in one place. Pandemics, everybody's got to be separated, as we know now. But it was something that many of us who'd been through that process in the lab, we understood that, yeah, everything stops, everything slows down, and you've got to deal with a whole lot of things. But there are so many things that, yeah, you just don't know until you experience it. But we were prepared for some of the psychological things, and we were also able to still present some online works and conversations about pandemics at last year in 2020.
You referred to the work you're doing, the focus on climate crisis, as a cathartic grieving process. I imagine that's a hard emotional space to be immersed in for so long. So how do you step away from that grief and keep yourself happy and healthy?
Yeah, it is very difficult. I think I'm going to take a little break after this work to take my focus somewhere else, you know, and I'm going to look at some permaculture and try and understand soil and water for a little bit. I think I can't stop making work. I always do that. But it gets very difficult to imagine a complete disconnection to place. And so I know it's not going to happen in my lifetime that my own island submerges, but I guess it's a really difficult sadness to just constantly carry around. You know, my grandparents spent a lot of time trying to ensure that I belong to a place. You know, I'd spend holidays in my island. And so trying to reverse that possibility is quite hopeful for me, you know. So constantly talking about the potential of going to renewables means that the impact on low-lying islands is less because it's the carbon emissions that cause it. So I guess it's difficult emotionally going back and forth, but that's why I think the action for me helps me stay alert. And working with some of the other artists, it gets very difficult. There are times where we, you know, those of us who are really quite open about how we really feel about things, we take a step back and we try and catch up and talk ourselves through it, and then just keep making work and keep getting involved in community. I think finding that how things connect is really important. So it's not just about making these outward gestures, you know, exhibition style gestures, but keeping ourselves contained and safe and open to just have these conversations is really quite important. There are a few people that you can share your vulnerabilities about that with, who actually understand what you're thinking about, that make it easier for us to just continue making new works and sharing those experiences with everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks very much for having me.
Latai Tamapiao has been my guest in the drawing room. Her show Mass Movement is on in Melbourne as part of Refuge 2021. Check online for details.